Right across Australia, this is the Danny Lakey Show. It's Danny
Lakey. Yeah, well, Joe the Pigeon, he's had a tough trot. I mean, people are making up scandalous rumours about Joe the Pigeon in the end. After a story where I pretty much sided with killing a pigeon, by the end, all I'd basically done was encourage the death of a homegrown Aussie pigeon.
Bad luck, Joe.
Nah, bad luck me in the end. Egg all over my pigeon-hating face. Talked about Joe the Pigeon and animals with human names. Unfortunately, I have lost all ability to yawn. Could the listeners provoke a yawn in me? Bring one rising from the ashes like a phoenix? We'll find out in the podcast. There are some people that you don't want to shake hands with, not because they're lepers, but because they're awkward and try to change the game when it comes to handshakes. That was discussed. But a real feel-good story now. Tennis player with eight fingers qualifies for the Australian Open. Yeah. Yeah. There's been too many fingers in the past. It's my only knock on that tournament. Oh, it's just swamped with too many fingers on the court all the time. Francesca Jones wants her Australian Open X-Factor story to be an inspiration for anyone dealing with health adversity. When she was 8 years old, the British ace was told by a doctor her unusual physical condition would prevent her becoming a tennis star. You hear that, don't you? Doctors are trying to kill dreams at a very young age. If I was a doctor, I just wouldn't really bother. I just probably, if an eight-year-old looked at me with eight fingers and said, can I still play tennis at the Australian Open when I'm older? I think it's a pretty shit doctor go, no, I wouldn't have thought so. Keep the dream alive. Let it burn. Anyway, it wasn't messing with Francesca Jones's training. The 20-year-old who had a series of operations as a kid has only three fingers and a thumb on each hand. Oh, I thought it was just one, like, a dodgy hand. I didn't realise it was sort of still symmetrical on both. So it's one thumb, three fingers. Oh, I thought, oh, she's just got a killer backhand. No, both. Forehand, backhand. Even the more impressive. And even the more impressive again when she secured a place at next month's Aussie Open by thrashing China's Lu Jijang 6-love 6-1. Hey that, Jijang. You and all your fingers. Very well done. And I mean, there's 128 ladies in the draw, and I'm just doing a little bit of maths here. That would mean 12, usually year on year, we'll have 1,280 fingers in the ladies draw. That'll be down this year in 2021 to 1,278. You know, obviously divide that by 128. So the average woman at the Australian Open this year, we'll have 9.984 fingers for those playing along at home. So it's always good to crunch the numbers in that way. She says, I try to use it as a positive and I see it as an advantage in many ways, Jones said. Well, yes. And as a tennis player in my days, being on a tennis scholarship during my high school years, as a matter of fact, I can see how that might actually add a bit of X factor. I think a bit more wristy, I reckon. I reckon she's got a bit more spin. There's not fingers getting in the way everywhere. And I've always been like a harsh critic of fingers anyway. I sort of look at my, I think, do we need all 10? Like, are we wasting our time with some of these guys? Like, what are they really bringing to the table? Like, the opposable thumb gets a pretty good rap, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, that's sort of the tipping point in human evolution where we managed to get our opposing thumbs to do things. But yeah, all right. Well, what's the thumb really for? Hitchhiking? Thumb wars, settling arguments. To be honest, if you're missing a thumb, there's less chance of an accident when hammering nails. Like, it's sort of horses for courses, swings and roundabouts. The index finger, I mean, what's it really? I mean, a cricket umpire needs his index finger, but apart from that, I'm going to imagine that could be rendered useless. The middle finger, it's almost a power. You can't flip the bird anymore. That might be a bit frustrating, but apart from that, what's the middle finger doing? Ring finger, engagements might be awkward, but apart from that, and the pinky promise, arguably, you don't have to pinky promise. You get away with telling lies all the time. I think it's one of nature's great superpowers to miss your pinkies. You can lie all over the place. Oh, no, I swear, pinky promise. Oh, no, guess not. Guess we'll never know. Are you missing fingers on 133353? My hands, smile, I know. And I'd like to know which ones. Are you like Francesca Jones, missing one on each hand? Maybe a couple. Is there just one hand in question where you're missing multiple fingers? If you've got 10... you're not allowed to call. If you've got 9 or less, 133353. Are you missing fingers? Steve in Broadford, you're missing at least a finger.
I've got 9 3/4, buddy.
9 3/4, great. So just a little nub, just a little stump. Was this in an accident of some sort or born?
No, I got caught in a fan belt back when I was 18 months old.
Wow. Okay, didn't see that coming.
It never really worried me until I go to the boozer and I told me two fingers up and order two pots and the barman comes back with a pot and a 7-ounce glass.
Oh, he loves that one. Stevie used that one before.
Drives me up the bloody wall, buddy. I'll give you the tip.
Yeah, okay. So which finger in question? Is the index left or right hand?
Left index.
Left index. So you're right hand.
The problem that's gone.
Right hand man? Right hand man?
Yeah, I am, luckily. Yeah.
Right hand man. Well, this is almost the ideal situation. I'm almost jealous, Steve, because it sounds like really apart from when you order the beers and only get 7/8 in a second schooner, there's really nothing else to it. I mean, if anything, it's just a little bit of convenient weight loss.
Well, mate, it really plays on me drinking time, though, you know?
Yeah, no, that's true. These things, still doing the drinking here. Nice, Steve. Mick in Warrandyte. Hello.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah,
thank
how you
you
doing?
Yeah, good. So we've got the 9. I mean, can we whittle it down? Do I have an 8? Do I have an 8? Are you a man with an 8? You got 8. Less.
I've just got me pointer fingers on both hands and two thumbs.
Wow, the human claw. Okay, so let me do a little bit of quick maths here. So one thumb plus one thumb, that's 2. And then pointer on both hands, that's 2.
It.
4.
Yeah.
4. 4 in general.
I was pretty happy when the Wiggles came out.
Why? What? I know the Wiggles thing. All right. Yeah, I'm with ya. I'm with ya. What we're learning is people with less fingers are more funny than the average 10-finger human because there's a lot of ditties going on right now. So that's good. So you got the guns. You got the human guns.
Yeah. I was good at doing the open the gates too, where you put the two pointer fingers together and say open the gates, and they pull it towards themselves, and you bang, bang, you're dead them.
Bang, bang. You know what I mean? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, what I'd imagine you're very efficient when it comes to finger food. There's probably whole heap of strengths. Any weaknesses getting around?
Yeah, I don't know. Sometimes when you can go to scratch your head and people think you're calling them a loser.
Yeah, God, yeah, that's the right. You turn the gun, you just cock the gun 90 degrees all of a sudden. Loser.
Yeah, that's it. Now people are really offended at you, you know?
Yeah.
So, it's all right, mate. I've just got these funny fingers and thumbs, yeah?
Yeah, go. Show some sympathy. The Danny Lakey Show Catch-Up Podcast. Woman misinterprets CEO's COVID-safe handshake during job interview. Oh. Slow news day. A woman misinterpreted the CEO's arm gesture during a job interview and locked her arms with his as if they were BFFs. What does that even mean? She explained that the interviewer, a male who was around 50 years old, walked down the stairs towards her during the job interview, but stopped halfway down the stairs. She then said, I figured the interview would take place upstairs, so I got up to meet him. Oh yeah, nice. Saving time. Meet him halfway at the stairs. That's not awkward at all. And as I was walking up the stairs towards him, he puts his arm up and his elbow out. Not clicking that he was after a COVID-safe elbow bump, she explained she took it more as a, please take my arm, m'lady, so I can escort you to the room as if we were strolling down the promenade together. Oh, well, you've got to give her the benefit of the doubt, eh? She's probably nervous for the job interview. It's probably the job of her dreams. Oh, God, she's already made like a half hiccup meeting him in this narrow stairwell. Like, hi there. He's gone for the elbow bump. What, 25% of people are trying to push this elbow thing real hard? And then she's going, and locked in and skipped to the loo, my darling. That is awkward. I don't like it when you're not on the same page with handshakes. There's a lot of different ways. And you'd think after all these years as a society, we would finally all be on the same page as to how to greet one another. But no. Awkward handshakes still ensue. This one sounds like one of the most awkward. She said, we just stood there, arm in arm, halfway up the stairs, sheepishly staring at each other. I wanted the earth to swallow me whole. I just didn't know what to do next. And I don't think he'd fully understood what had happened. So neither of us moved. When the CEO finally came to his senses, he told her, I meant to give you an elbow bump. She quickly moved away, mumbling to herself, right, yes, that makes much more sense. It wouldn't be the first, and it won't be the last awkward handshake, because there are just too many people out there that are awkward to shake hands with.
People who are awkward to shake hands with, like every gynecologist or most rappers. People who are awkward to shake hands with.
Some people you can spot from a mile away. Think, oh God, I don't really even want to try and shake your hand. This is just going to be awkward, isn't it? Some people it just catches you completely off guard. Sometimes you'll be the one who tries to dominate your style of handshake, but then someone else just comes over the top. It's like the ultimate move of who's more dominant in the conversation. Who's the prison bitch and who's the leader of the pack? Awkward people to shake hands with. I remember watching the Bra Boys movie back in the day, that documentary, the Bra Boys handshake, the toughest handshake you can get. You can't break the Bra Boys handshake. That's when they'd look like they're going for a normal handshake to shake each other's hands, but then they'd keep going up each other's arms and just grab each other's forearms in a locked show of strength and unity. Apparently it dates back to the old days where it would represent that you weren't carrying a sword, which, I mean, I'd argue if you are shaking someone's hand, you know they don't have a sword in their hand anyway. Nevertheless, that's an awkward segment of the population to shake hands with. Who else? Ooh, MCs and rappers. Oh, God. Who was the first MC or rapper that decided, no, I'm not going to shake your hand. I'm going to sort of like cock it. We're going to like link thumbs and palms. And then I'm going to bring you in and like sort of bump your shoulder with my shoulder. And then we might do a couple of slapsies. We might end it all with a nice old fist bump, just for good luck. As if things couldn't get awkward enough already. No, I don't like shaking hands with MCs and rappers. They always get me. Who else? European men. I don't know whether they want to give me one of those dinky kisses on the cheeks. And then even when I do commit to one dinky kiss on the cheek, all I'm worrying about is, oh no, is this one of those countries where they do two dinky kisses on the cheek? Do I have to go around to the other one now? You're just there like awkwardly bobbing your heads together. You just end up kissing on the lips. People missing their whole right hand. That's awkward because you don't know whether they would prefer to be shaken by the stump or that you go to their left hand where a hand is. It's very, very awkward, stuck between a rock and a hard place. And also, the worst people to shake hands with, and this is, I've got an irrational fear of this, but boxers wearing boxing gloves. I just don't quite know whether they want a fist bump or for me to tap them on the shoulder. And to be honest, if I'm ever invited to a boxing match backstage, I probably just won't go.
This is the Danny Lakey Show on Triple M.
Bodily functions, I mean, they're functions that our body does, and some of them you've got full control over. Some you can just like do for fun. Like if you wanted to right now, anyone, whether you're driving or just listening at home and whatnot, you could cough right now. I mean, I don't recommend that one. It's a tough time to just be coughing for the sake of it at the moment.
Coronavirus!
We all know that you cough sometimes when your body wants to cough, but you could also perform. You could mimic a cough very easily. The sniff is another one. Oh, you don't like the sniffles. No one likes the sniffles. You've got a cold. Oh, I've got the sniffles. But I could sniff. You know what? I can do it. I sniffed. There you go. I mean, shoot me. That you can easily sniff as well. You can. Some of us have trained ourselves to burp if you want to. You can just burp on cue. Some people can do some of the great guttural belches, can't they? On the other side of the fence, there are bodily functions that you have no control over that happen from time to time. Farts are always a good one. People feel a fart coming on. Some people will embrace the fart. Some people go into panic mode, like run outside, like walk around the block and try and get as far away as possible just to let a fart out. That's a good bodily function. Sneeze. They say that's 1/10 of an orgasm. It's good fun, isn't it, when a sneeze comes? As long as it comes on. You're like, I don't mind a sneeze that you got to work for a little bit. Like, oh, yeah, you're thinking about it, are you? All right, well, what if I just stare at this light? Okay, you're coming? Yeah, nice, thanks. That's the sneeze I like. That's a respectful sneeze. The ones that come and go and never quite come out, they're annoying. It's another bodily function. What else is there? The gurgle. That's always a bit of fun, isn't it? It's always at the worst of times, a gurgle. It would be like sort of with a new partner and like kissing a little bit, watching Netflix. And they're just, oh no, sorry about that. I don't usually gurgle. I don't know what that was. Don't know what's come over me. Bodily function. Just some Mexican. There's one that doesn't really fit into either category. And that's the bodily function that I want to talk about right now, because I haven't done this bodily function for as long as I remember. And it pains me because they were good fun. And I sort of feel like I never appreciated this bodily function. And now that it's been taken away from me, now that I haven't done it in a while, I just want it. And I've been trying to do it all day and I can't quite do it. And producer Mick out there, I mean, we've known each other for a couple of weeks and whatnot. I mean, you've seen me cough, you've heard me fart, you've even laughed at me sneezing. But there's one thing that you definitely haven't seen me do, and that's a bloody yawn.
I have not seen you yawn.
Haven't yawned. I'm yawnless. I haven't knocked a yawn off the board for, I mean, I can't remember. I don't think I've yawned in 2021. That's something.
Wow.
I don't know if I yawned last year at all. That's the scary thing. And it's even more scary because they say a yawn's contagious. And you let off a couple of yawns today.
I have, yeah.
And I thought, well, that's great. I mean, someone I can piggyback off the back of. I sort of just look at them, concentrate on their yawns, then it'll slip into my subconscious. That's what they say. We'll see someone else yawning. You'll start yawning straight away. Even talking about yawning, you'll start yawning. Well, I'm not yawning. I've tried everything. I watched YouTube videos last night of people yawning. Nothing. I am afraid that I've lost all ability to yawn.
Mate Lakey. Yawn.
And the great thing about this is that they say a yawn is one of the only things that you can catch over the phone. And they say it's contagious in a phone call. That's one of the great things about a yawn. Even someone on the other side of the world has the ability, they say, to make someone else yawn. Now, I don't care how you do it. As long as you can get a yawn out of me tonight, you will be rewarded in riches and spoils. $100 worth of grilled burgers on the line for anyone who can make me yawn tonight. And I know there's a couple of people listening in the car right now. Go, stop talking about yawning. You've made me yawn. I've already yawned about 5 times during this break. Well, consider yourself lucky because you never know when the yawn will be taken away from you. Do we know whether I'll yawn or not? Well, I'm just not sure. I sure as hell hope so. Producer Michaela will be on Yawn Watch. We will have Yawn Mike up and turned up to 11. 133353. Talk about yawns, mimic a yawn. As long as you can get me to yawn, $100 worth of grilled burgers coming your way. Help a man out. They say a yawn is contagious enough that you can catch it over the phone. It's merely an old wives' tale right now for me, Chris, in Queensland. Oh, yeah. Oh, all fun for you and your ivory tower, yawning
indeed,
up there.
Indeed. Oh, loving it. Loving it.
Look, I mean, do your best. Do your darndest. I don't know what your strategy is, but if you can make the man yawn, $100 of burgers coming your way.
Oh, I'm so tired.
It's alternative medicine. There's no doubt about it. It's a very naturopathic way of trying to squeeze out a yawn. Just a Donald Duck impersonation. It was fantastic.
Why not? Takes a lot of effort.
It was a lot of effort, and it was a lot of fun to listen to as well. But unfortunately, just no inklings of a yawn anywhere in my system.
Too interested in listening to it. I can understand.
I know. Yeah, yeah. I was distracted. That's the thing. I don't know. And it was an interesting take, but I think more centering back into the attention being full yawn. I mean, put that at the very nucleus of the strategy. I say, Andrew and Mackay, you think that you can maybe make me yawn for $100 worth of burgers?
I hope so, mate, because I'm pretty tired.
Whoa, nice. Now, I don't know if that was on purpose or not, but he's immediately got me into a sleepier state of mind. Very well done. A true professional. Take it away. Do more of your magic. Yawn Weaver.
Ready? Ready?
Very dangerous because most people who don't suffer from my affliction will be very tired whilst driving their vehicles right now. I mean, it's very risky radio. Unfortunately for me, I was not rocked.
I'm going to bed.
Oh, please do. And once again, not sure if this is part of the strategy or not, but.
Oh, that was my wife. She's tired too.
Very nice. A team effort, but unfortunately, I have not yielded. I haven't even got flush. Like that's the disappointing and the scary thing, I'd say, because I was expecting, you know, my cheeks to just go a little bit. You feel that tension in your jaw. Unfortunately, I'm dead inside. Julian in Melbourne. Hello.
How you going, mate?
Good, thank you. All is well in my life. Very grateful, apart from the inability to yawn, which is keeping me down.
Yeah, well, just to let you know, buddy, I'm sort of just got snuck into bed with a little blanket over the top of me, and I've got a yawn coming for you.
Nice. Okay, give it to me. Give it to me hard and thick.
Bag of Coke.
Oaky and clumsy. but, I mean, Nothing. Like, I feel like a girl's just looking at me and I'm supposed to have an erection right now. Like, that's the sort of feelings I feel. Like, everyone's expecting something to happen and it's just for some reason not, which is an uncomfortable feeling. I don't know if you know this feeling, Julia. I mean, it happens to the best of us at the worst of times. There's just no preamble. There's no yawny preamble to any of this. I mean, have a great night. Have a great sleep. Reward yourself.
I will, mate. I'll have a good reward.
Your body is letting you know what you need to do. I've never felt more lost in all my life. Vanessa, one more call, because otherwise literally the whole of the nation will go to sleep. It's not what we want.
Hello, Danny. How are you going?
Good, thank you. Nice. Real, real good. Feeling optimistic that you've got the magic. Now, you know how I was saying before that I felt like I couldn't get an erection?
Yep, you got one?
Yeah. So, we have cured one problem.
The Danny Lakey Show Catch-Up Podcast.
This story is the story that has captured a nation today. Authorities plan to kill Joe the Pigeon due to quarantine risk. Oh, no. The bird landed in the backyard of a Melbourne suburb on Boxing Day last year, and the man who found it immediately noticed the pigeon looked exhausted and weak and gave it some crushed up biscuits to help regain its strength. That's what you do. You see a vulnerable bird, you see a bird that's suffering, you go straight to the arrow roots, you smack them around in a sandwich bag and you give them the crumbs. Noticing the blue tag attached to the bird's leg, that is when the man discovered the bird was linked to an American racing pigeon union and was registered to an owner in Alabama. Oh, an overseas pigeon.
On the other side of the ocean.
The tag indicated the pigeon had been entered into a race on October 29 last year, and it's believed the bird may have been blown off course, resulting in it finding its way to Australia. Well, what a journey. A 15,000-kilometre journey. Believing the bird needed a fitting name, the man called it Joe. I like that. I like when people give animals human names. I don't subscribe to like a dog being called Rover. I'd much rather just call it Michael or Clem. I think there'd be a stronger relationship. You'd build a partnership a lot quicker with an animal that's called a human name, Joe the Pigeon. Following the discovery, the man was contacted by the Department of Agriculture on Thursday and asked to catch the bird so it could be euthanized, citing biosecurity risks. Well, that's fair enough. I mean, the ags, they've got to do their part. You see a bird from overseas, it's come in. I mean, he definitely hasn't done the 2-week isolated quarantine, let alone probably been checked at the border. So there is a biosecurity risk. We've got to keep our flora and fauna safe. Execute the pidge. A change.org petition, though, calling for Australian officials to spare Joe's life and return him to America, quickly started gaining support. Following news, the bird could be euthanized. Hashtag save Joe is trending on Twitter. Oh, yeah. Oh, everyone's a hero. We just have to jump on change.org. Oh, yeah. No money involved. No crowdfunding to get this pigeon back home. Oh, just type in your name on a website. Oh, yeah, that'll make you feel good. It's quickly accrued over 1,500 signatures, and I say the word signatures very lightly. Hashtag save Joe. I'm going to say, I'm hashtag kill Joe. I mean, I don't want to sound like I hate all pigeons, but I mean, I eat chicken, so I can't just be gobbling down chicken 3 meals a day and then jumping on the internet. Oh, save Joe. Oh, Joe's different though. Joe's one of the good guys. Nah, hashtag kill Joe. I mean, it's one pigeon. Sometimes you've got to sacrifice one pigeon to save a whole flock of pigeons. That's my take on it. And to be honest, it is Acting Prime Minister Michael McCormack's view as well.
Joe has come in a way that has not met our strict biosecurity measures, then bad luck, Joe.
Yeah, bad luck, Joe, I say. There's not a whole heap of things me and McCormack have agreed on this week, but we do dance to the beat of this drum.
Bad luck, Joe.
Yeah, one Twitter user wrote, "My message to the federal government is this. Take Joe off death row now. Surely the FedGov has larger issues to deal with right now than death sentences for pigeons." Yeah. The federal government have larger issues to deal with right now than organising a charter flight to the US for a bloody pigeon. I think hashtag kill Joe. Until some news came through, literally only hours ago.
And there's a fresh twist in the bizarre story of a pigeon thought to be from the US. It was initially thought Joe had flown several thousand Ks after getting lost. However, the claims are now being disputed by the American Racing Pigeon Union.
Okay. So it is an Aussie pigeon. Hashtag save Joe.
Oh, well, everybody's heard about
the- I wish that news broke before the anti-all pigeons matter movement was that I just try to get going. Anyway, all right, cool. The point is, I appreciate that the pigeon's name is Joe. Bit of Friday fun. Animals that are called human names. And I mean, I don't want to clog the phone lines with dog stories. I mean, that's good fun. If you've got a cat with a human name, that's good. If it's real good, 133-53. But maybe we'll go like, you know, a pig called Sven. Or like Marcus the Octopus. Right, so do you have an exotic animal, an animal out of the box, or you know of one with an interesting human name? Oh, the juxtaposition. That'll give me the jollies tonight. 133-53, Zach in Grovedale. You've got a, well, I mean, we did say no cat stories unless they were absolutely epic. And I assume that you've got an epic cat name for your epic cat.
Yeah, I reckon it's pretty epic. My cat's name's Marcellus Wallace.
Marcellus Wallace is fantastic. So imagine, is this sort of Italian inspiration? And Marcellus, it sounds very European to me.
It's from Pulp Fiction. He's the big black gangster dude in Pulp Fiction that like runs the whole operation. But right. My cat's like a little ginger banking, so it's like really funny. But he suits the name, so it's even better.
Well, it's a double juxtaposition. And sorry, hashtag not a movies man. I must apologise for that. A lot of people probably picked up straight away the Marcellus Wallace reference. Me having never watched Pulp Fiction. Yeah, deal with it. Didn't understand it, but I like that. Big mob boss in a movie. Little ginger cat, butter wouldn't melt in its mouth. Marcellus Wallace. It's good fun. It is good.
Thank you.
Someone rang up before and they said, I've got a cat called Winky, to which I said, that's not a human name. That's just a normal cat. And then he said, well, I know a man called Winky. So he sort of checkmated me there. But we're looking for that sweet spot. And I think Marcellus Wallace is bang on, right in the middle of the racket. Ben in Penrith, you've got a dog with a human name.
Yeah, how you going?
Yeah, good, thank you. What's the dog's name? Don't leave me in the lurch. Don't play me like a fool. I need to know the dog's name straight away.
Oh, mate, his name's Tuco.
Okay.
Well, he's he's not really a human name. Well, as such, no. It's from a TV show.
Okay.
Breaking Bad. He's one of the drug dealers.
Okay, great. So we're hearing already a lot of movie-inspired names for dogs and cats. Once again, not a TV guy, so I haven't really watched Breaking Bad either. But Tuco, good. It's right on the border. And what percentage of people do you feel pick up the reference when you introduce your pug Tuco to the general society? How often do they go, Breaking Bad, drug dealer dog. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, it's a mixed bunch, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, if you know, you know. And if you don't, then you just think it's a dog called Tuco, which is, I mean, that's perfectly normal circumstances anyway. Mark, in Biltham.
It's Biltham, actually.
Sorry. There's a slippery spell into this one. B-I-L-T-H-Y-M. What else did a man have to say? Have to go Biltham.
Doesn't know how to spell, but anyway. All good. Listen, I had a cat called Roger. He sort of adopted me. He was a stray bloody tomcat.
Nice.
I'm a dog man, but anyway, he adopted me, and he used to sleep with the dogs. You'd throw the ball for the dogs, and he'd chase the ball with the dogs, and he just thought he was a dog.
Well, this, you confuse a cat when it comes in off the streets, and it's bound to act up in confusing ways. Was it called Roger before decided to call him the Roger?
I just called him Roger, man.
Roger. Of course, yeah. And it confused the cat. Next thing he knows, he thinks he's part dog, part human. Almost forgot he has any cat DNA. At all. It's a good one. Good fun. Yeah, I like that. That's my favourite so far. Cat called Roger. It just doesn't make sense. A bit of Friday fun. Andrew in Victoria, you got a cat.
I got a cat, a grey cat, and his name is Sir Earl Grey.
I love that the sirs in front of it are usually reserved for some of the most special humans on the planet. Anything to deserve, sir, just your special cat. He's Earl Grey. He is Sir Earl Grey.
He's Earl Grey, and name just came up, so he's...
And now we're right down the Earl Grey rabbit hole, and it's somewhere I didn't see us being at 7:19 on a Friday, but all of a sudden I'm questioning where did the Earl Grey tea come from? It was the tea named after a man. Was Earl Grey a person back
Earl
in the 1600s?
Earl Grey the tea.
Yeah, the tea. Was it named after a person? I'm not sure if you know the origins of the Earl Grey
I'm not
tea.
Sure.
So you?
Oh, great. I couldn't tell you.
Maybe. That's a good answer. Maybe. Quite possibly. Yes. Quite possibly. No. Brad in New South Wales. Wrap this up. You got a big exotica. You got the exotica. Bring it home, Bradley.
We've got it. We have got a goat. The young bloke's goat. He's named Layla. And we put it over a boar, and it had a baby boy, and they called it Terry.
Yeah. Nice. Terry the goat, Layla the goat. Sorry, Layla the goat is a guy?
Is a mother.
Is a mother.
Layla's the mother.
Yeah, Layla's the mother, yeah.
Terry's the baby little boy.
Yeah, nice, cool. Well, I mean, who are we to question gender for goats in 2021 anyways? And I apologise to the goat in question, and I promise to be better to him, her, them, in the future. The more you know, 2021, equal goat rights. Hoi! Daddy Lakey. Triple M.